Thanks, Dan. Some very good songs. The subject that we're going to talk about this morning. I just want to say I appreciate your prayers for my wife. She brought her home again yesterday, and she's doing much better. I just appreciate your prayers that she'll be able to regulate her sugar and be able to get onto a even diet and so on and be motivated to take on the problem with the diabetes and be on an even keel as it ought to be. She retains fluid, and they told her when she was in this last time, the fluid was building up again around the left lung. They don't really want to tap the lung under the lung area because it's been done a number of times. And the last time they had pricked the lung, and they were very concerned about that. And the fluid comes as a result of the kidneys that are not functioning as they ought. And they put her on fluid pills, water pills. And the last time they had put her on a strong medication, but it went too far. It caused her to become dehydrated. So as a result, she had to be given fluid and so on at the hospital. And so there's a number of things there, and medication and so on. And we really appreciate your prayers in on her behalf. Phone calls and cards and various ways of support we appreciate. The subject this morning is the New Testament Assembly, and a church today is not often referred to as an assembly, but it's a very biblical term. That the word church and assembly are really synonymous. They come from the same Greek word, the word ecclesia, and EK, first part of the word, means out or from. And kaleo means called. And the thought is that as a church, as an assembly, we are called out from. We're called of God. We're called together. We're called out from this present evil world, aren't we? We're called unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather unto his name. We don't gather to any person or any hierarchy or any of such, but we simply come and we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things I'd like to emphasize this morning is the fact that his church, we're part of his church, his body, has been purchased by his blood. And I've enjoyed that thought. I also enjoyed the thoughts that Randy Amos has put together in his book, The Church. And most of us know Randy Amos, if not all of us. A very good teacher and speaker of the word. A man whom God has used tremendously. And I'm going to share a few of his thoughts. But if there's nothing else that you get this morning, and as we're going to get it from the Word of God, but that he has purchased his church. He owns it. He's purchased this with his blood. And he's the head of the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, in whom we are members of. Well, last week, Tim brought to us a number of good teachings and thoughts from the Word of God concerning the function of the church, the operation of the church, the gifts and talents that is seen in as a group of believers together and seeking to gather unto the Lord and to serve him and to serve others, and he brought us a good introduction into those areas. I'd just like to perhaps maybe focus more on the body of Christ and his church, his bride, and he who owns the church. He's purchased it with his own blood. And I've been really enjoying that thought. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now we see here that Paul is meeting with the elders in the church of Ephesus. He's about to set sail for his last time to Jerusalem. But he gathers with the elders there in Ephesus, and he shares with them the suffering and the persecution that he has gone through. But he's reminding them to take heed to yourselves. We need to take heed to ourselves and to take heed to the fact of where we are in the church of God. We're to take heed to our life and so on. And spiritually, where are we with the Lord and walking with the Lord? And so we're to take heed unto ourselves and to all the flock, a local body of believers. A gathering can be referred to as a flock. In Luke chapter 12, speaks there of fear not, little flock. And a gathering of believers together, and the disciples and so on, the Lord Jesus referred to often as a little flock. And so it is with a local assembly and referred to as the shepherd of the sheep. As part of his flock, we gather together. I think there was a hymn book one time was titled Little Flock, I think something like that was used. But the thought is that we're his flock, and he's our shepherd, and we're part of his flock. But overall, there's one fold, and we're part of his fold. All who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and love him and seek to live for him is part of his fold. And though they be Jew or Gentile alike, they're part of his one fold. And so Paul is referring to the believers there at Ephesus as the flock, a little flock. And he also refers to to the elders there, that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's by the Spirit of God. It's an evidence that God's life is upon a young man, older man, to take on that responsibility as an overseer of the flock and to serve the Lord in that way. And it's by the Holy Spirit of God, the conviction of the Word of God, that one takes on in that responsibility. But it's all his work, because it's his flock, and it's he is the one to appoint the overseers of the flock. And we see here to feed the church of God. And there are those that perhaps don't recognize themselves as an elder, but they do the work of an elder. There are those of our assembly who do visiting and concern for other believers and help out and have a heart to serve the Lord and the Lord's people. And they're feeding the church of God in every aspect of the Lord's work comes into the fact of how we're feeding together. And just encouraging another brother and sister in their walk in the Lord and helping them to feed on the Word of God that they might grow and be established in Him. And that's each one of us, we have that responsibility together because we're part of His flock. And we see here to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And to me, that's a tremendous phrase, which He has purchased with His own blood. The church of God, the true church of Jesus Christ, that makes up His body, we're members of His body, of His church. But He's purchased us by His blood. By His precious blood, we've been purchased and we have been baptized into the body of Christ through the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We've been purchased. He owns us. And that's the thought that I would just like for us to think about, and as we see it in Scripture, and to meditate on it, that He's purchased. In so many church gatherings and men that are seeking to build churches and build a name and to see no other but them, we have the wisdom. We have all the wisdom. But if we recognize that it's not man, it's not us. It's God. He owns us. He owns His church. We're part of His church. But He is the one who possesses us. Randy had a thought on that, which I'm just going to read a thought here. The church is not to be built on certain religious creeds or traditions, but on Jesus Christ Himself, on His deity, His complete blood atonement for sin, His living authority as Lord and only mediator to intercede for sin. A group of people standing on different foundations, on a different foundation, are not God's true church, but a counterfeit, no matter what name they go by or what else may be right. The foundation must be right, or the house will not stand in the day of God's stormy judgment. Just as every house that contains a family shall have a head to maintain order, so does the church. We humans tend to want some great leader or organizational headquarters to turn to for direction. We like to follow someone we can see, hear, or touch, but the Lord Jesus is the unseen head. And He wants us by faith to trust and obey Him. Thus the church should submit to be governed by the head's word rather than by human leader or traditions, no matter how great these may be. For Christ has been exalted by God over every level of authority and is the head over all things to the church. Ephesians chapter 1. He's the head of the church. And there's so many other foundations that's out there but are based upon man's traditions and so on, and not simply on Christ. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, or verse 15. This verse is the key verse for the book of Timothy. As you know, Timothy writes concerning the church and the the conduct of those who are in authority and the relationship that are amongst believers and so on. Paul writes to Timothy concerning the work that Timothy is to do as a servant of the Lord and to carry on in encouraging other believers. He addresses the elders and the widows and so on, and the younger people and older people, and so he writes concerning it. But verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." As I say, I think this is a key verse in the book of Timothy. As Paul writes to Timothy, "Do you know, they know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, the conduct in the house of God." The church, true church of God, is referred to as well as the house of God. It's a house. A house has to have a foundation, doesn't it? And that's the first thing. As if you build a house, you get a solid, firm foundation. So it is, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, that there's no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's purchased the church with his precious blood. He's established the solid foundation upon himself. All his attributes, his character, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is part of his house. And we're part of that house. And Peter writes that, speaks of living stones. We're living stones in his house, or lively stones. And he's brought us alive because we're founded upon the firm foundation. I was thinking of the word house, or the thought of house. If we go back to Exodus, when the Lord was bringing his people out of Egypt, how they were to kill the lamb and to put the blood upon the doorpost of the house, so that when the Lord passed by, when he saw the blood, he would pass over you. The blood was upon the doorpost as a picture of redemption. It was only the blood that saved them from death. And you know, so it is eternally. The Lord Jesus' blood, in Hebrews, it speaks of the fact that when he died, that I'm going to have to turn to it here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. "Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." There was a house in Egypt, picture of redemption. There's a house in glory, heaven itself, where the Lord Jesus entered with his own blood, and upon the mercy seat in the holy place, his blood is forever, eternally there as a reminder that we've been purchased by his blood. If you go to verse 24, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands," which is, speaks of the earthly tabernacle, because that was done away in the temple. The veil was rent and so on. "But in the figures of the true, into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God." And so there in the presence of God is an evidence in God's house in heaven will be forever the evidence of his blood. There's the earthly house, and there's the eternal heavenly house, an evidence of his precious blood. And we're part of that house. We're part of his house, of his body. And he's the head. He's the one whom we gather unto. And he's the head of the house. He's the head of his body. Notice what Paul speaks, which is the church of the living God. It's the church of the living God. We're not dead stones. We're alive. We're not dead stones in his foundation, but we're alive. Peter says Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone in the foundation of the house. And the dead stones and the living stones cannot dwell together. We're living stones because we have a living and true God. He's alive. We're part of the church of the living God. And I like the title, the subject today, the New Testament Assembly. Because we've been brought into the new dispensation of God's grace. And the new dispensation of the church. And as we heard last week in Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit came, and the Lord Jesus now dwells within us. And that's what makes us alive. It's nothing that we can do. If it depended on our feelings and the situations and so on during the day to bring us happiness and help us to get through life, we'd never make it. But life has come from God. And we're living vessels in his house, in his church. He is the one who's made us alive in him. It's him. Now, we notice, too, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see a building with a nice, beautiful pillar standing there. Evidence of strength, isn't it? It just tells you, my, those beautiful pillars and how firm that looks, that building must be with the pillars. And you know, we're all to be pillars into God's house. We're all to be pillars in his house. But also the fact that Paul says that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar is something you can see. The ground brings the support. It brings stability of the truth. And we both see now, and in the ground we believe by faith, that underneath is that which will support us, is a picture of faith. Not only what we see now, but also in faith in which is to come. The truth that supports us, what we see, and also the truth that shows us things that is yet to come, that is supported by the truth of the Word of God. We're part of that church, the church of the living God. Pillar and ground of the truth. He's the one that gives us that support and that strength that we need as we focus on him and seek to live for him. And is that which we don't see, we live by faith and believe that God is the one who will support us and help us day by day. And we look forward not only to now, what we see, but we look forward to what he has for us in the future, in his plan. The foundation is Christ. And the house of God, he's the head of the house. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. verse 20 or verse 19. Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly joined together in an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you're built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There's a work that is going on that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in his church. Though man is looking at his own ways and pleasing himself and looking at what makes me feel good and satisfies my conscience, but God is carrying out a plan of his church through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we follow him as a chief cornerstone, we recognize that he's the one that's building it. He's the one that's building the church. I remember when I first came to the area, I was at the Hebrew Mission, but I was looking to go to attend a Baptist church, and so I was always met in the Baptist circle, and different ones would say, well, try this church. I think you'd like this man because he's a good speaker. And but try this man. It's a bigger church, and I think you'd like the way he teaches in that. And different people had different ideas as to various churches. But nobody ever said to me, go here, because they just simply gather to the Lord. Nobody said that to me. It wasn't until I came into the Berkshire Assembly did I realize that this gathering of people, they don't have a one man. There's no one man that's directing and that has the final say. But they simply gather unto the name of the Lord. The Lord is the head. And I didn't understand how that could work. I thought, well, how can this work if there isn't a man who's doing things and visiting and kind of putting everything together in order, and if you had a question, you go to him, and I know there's deacons, but how could this? But as I gather with them, I especially in the breaking of bread and then in the difference between worship and service, worship and ministry of the Word of God and service, I began to see the difference that is there. And I began to understand more the fact that we simply gather unto the Lord. And the exercise to get into the Word of God and to get to know him more and to simply focus on the Lord was there, and that's something I really hadn't seen. Although in many of the Baptist circles they certainly preach the gospel and do a great work, but I think in all aspects of the church we can lose sight of the fact that the Lord is the head. And if he's the head, he's the one that will produce the unity and the harmony together. Because it's no man here on earth, but we gather to him. We simply gather unto him. Where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst. And we gather simply unto him. And that was hard for me to really understand. But as I attended and gathered with the saints there, I realized that can work. And the elders that ministered ministered the word and so on, I really appreciated that aspect. And so we see that he's the one that's building it. And he's the one who is fitly framing together. He's fitly framing each one of us together, that we might grow together in the holy temple of God. He's the one that's the builder, and we're simply under him, to submit ourselves under his authority, and to realize that he's the one who's the head. He's purchased us with his own blood. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here we see that Paul is writing concerning the holiness of God, the separation as believers from those that are not saved, those that are not believers. And we see that what agreement has the temple of God with idols? In Ephesians, Paul says that we're part of his holy temple. It's a holy temple. And how can we agree with idols? We can't, can we? Because we're the temple of the living God. We're the church of the living God. We're part of the temple of the living God. And I like to think of the fact of the temple. When you focus on the temple was a place of worship together. And part of his church is the aspect of the temple of the living God. And we gather together to remember the Lord and to worship him. We're part of his temple in bringing up, offering up sacrifices of praise and of worship and of thanksgiving from our hearts. From the assembly of God's people that gathers together, we offer worship and praise to God through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He completed the work of redemption, and he purchased his own church, and we're part of that church. He's purchased it, and we're part of the temple of the living God. Because God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God. Shall be my people. And as we gather into him, we're part of his temple. As we worship him, he dwells in us. And that's what makes the difference, isn't it? By the Spirit of God, who came in and dwelt us at Pentecost, both Jew and Gentile alike has been baptized into one body through his death. We've been placed into his body. When he died on the cross, we died with him. Romans chapter 6. Death has no more dominion over us. And when he arose, we were raised with him. And we went down into his death. We were raised in with him In the light of spiritual baptism, we're placed into the body of Christ. And the moment we're saved, we're redeemed into the body of Christ. It's His blood that redeems us and places us as members into His body. It's not an extra merit or whatever that we have to do, but it's all done. It was done at Calvary. His church is established, and we're members of His body by faith in Him. And it's by the Spirit of God that indwells us, and that's how we get to know Him. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to know Him. You'll be my people, because I've purchased you with mine own blood. And I really enjoyed that thought, as we see in Scripture, that His church has been purchased by Him, and He owns it, and we're owned by Him. And it ought to encourage us to realize that when we're into His body, we're there eternally. We can never lose our salvation. We can never be removed. We're always part of His house, His church, His temple, because He owns us. And I think it's a tremendous thought when we think of it, and ought to motivate us to follow Him, to go in the Scripture and search out that how we're to follow Him and to live for Him and to be an example to others, that truly God is with me and that I'm part of His church. It's all His work, and I need to just follow Him. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The church is a habitation of God, a place where He dwells, and He's the head of the church, the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to end here in just this thought. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. See, the body is one. There isn't many bodies. There's only one body of Christ. There's only one true church of God. There's only one, and He's the head. He's the one. But there's many members. Each of us, if we know Christ as our Savior, are members of His body. And we see in verse 13, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many, and so on. You see, He's the one that's placed us into His body. It's by the Spirit of God that we've been baptized into His body. It's not a ritual that is done, but the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. It's Him. He's the one. We accomplished on Calvary, the Spirit of God who came at that time, at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came and indwelt believers. And the work of the Spirit of God in baptizing each one into the body of Christ, one body. We're placed into His body. We're members of His body. And the Lord Jesus Christ established it his church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And as he left this world, as the apostles continue on in speaking the word, and that he's to be the head, and that they were to be part of the church, that they were to be part of that foundation, the apostles and prophets and so on, be part of the foundation of the church as is established upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the head. And as we see the church as it went on, and through Acts, and as Paul preached, and the beginning of various churches, and throughout Asia Minor and all parts of Asia, and as God blessed, people were saved, churches, local churches were established and gathered unto the Lord. And Paul reminded that the reason for gathering in homes and places for the fellowship, for the breaking of bread, fellowship, breaking of bread. It skips me the last one, but he established those as credentials in gathering together unto the name of the Lord, because there's only one body, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're members of that body. And so that's just a few thoughts this morning as we think of the New Testament assembly, the New Testament gathering. And as we gather here at the assembly, I trust that we'll continue to look at our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's done it all. He's purchased us with his blood. We're part members of his true church. And as a local flock together, we gather unto him and simply seek to bring glory and honor to him. We don't always, in some ways, perhaps we don't always recognize that, but we ought to, by the grace of God, always turn to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not in the Word of God, if it's not according to what he has said, then we ought not to follow it. We need to just simply follow his truth and to gather unto him. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we just pray that you might help us, and the desire that you'd give us wisdom to recognize that salvation is all of you. There's no way that we can be saved but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks that all things come from you, and that you're the giver of life, and that we've been indwelt by the Spirit of the living God who reveals the things of Christ to us. And we just pray that you'd help us day by day to grow in you and to grow up and to become real pillars in your church, and that we might seek to go forth and to spread the gospel and to be a testimony to others, we pray. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.